Here is Rick Smith.
So have you seen this story? This crazy, just, I don't even know the right word for how extreme and radical this pastor is. A guy named Adam Fannin, he's the pastor of the Steadfast Baptist Church in Florida. And look, I've been talking about how crazy the religious zealots have been getting in this country, and how off the rocker they've been for a very long time. Because, you know, most people aren't really paying attention to how just off the rails the evangelicals have become. But in this video that has been circulating around, this pastor says, and I'm going to read his words verbatim. This is a Christian pastor. Remember that for a second. He's talking about Susan Silverman. Or Sarah Silverman, the actress and the comedian. He said, you know, these Jewish false prophets, anti-Christians, anti-God, they're willing to put Jesus to death again. He said, you heard this comedian, Sarah Silverman? Listen, she's a witch. She's a Jezebel. She's a God-hating whore of Zionism. I hope God breaks her teeth out and she dies. Christian pastor. Think about that. Think about how extreme that is. And then you start thinking about, you know, politically where we are as a country when the conservative right wing, off on their white supremacy, off on all of the hatred and the division that we've got, and couching it in terms of religion, hoping that God breaks her teeth out and she dies. Really? It's amazing to me. And here to share some thoughts on this and the state of our country, I've asked David Wiseman to come talk with us. David is a former Trump supporter and a friend of Sarah Silverman. David, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So when you hear this pastor, you hear this Adam Fannin of the Steadfast Baptist Church go on this rant that he hopes God breaks her teeth out and she dies, what do you think?
A lot of different reactions. I mean, one, this is definitely not Christian, or, I mean, you know, regardless of what faith you are, most people of faith, you know, are taught to love each other no matter what faith you are. Or so this guy is definitely an overzealot, and Aaron is one of the kindest people you can ever come across. I mean, just because he might, you know, she has different political views and, you know, other people, doesn't mean she deserves this, you know, wrath of God that this preacher has been saying. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's almost sounds very threatening, and, you know, this guy should be looked at by the FBI. Or, I mean, this is kind of the same rhetoric that inspires people to do shootings. I mean, you saw the manifesto regarding the shooter in El Paso, you know, this kind of talk. And there has been shootings in churches. There has been shootings in synagogues, especially synagogues. Anti-Semitism has been on the rise. So, I mean, this is a hate speech. And I know in the Constitution, it's a very fine line between hate speech and if it's covered under the Constitution or not. But, I mean, it sounds like a threat, and I think it should be dealt with.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, the reality is we have the right to free speech, but I still don't have the right to run into a crowded theater and scream fire. I don't have the right to incite a riot. I don't have the right to do those things. And to me, this pastor is, in my view, you know, riling people up to the point to where, you know, the dim among us, the hopeless among us, the desperate among us, this may be one of those, to them, a call to action to we're going to save the country by killing this woman. And to me, it's just, it shows me where we are as a country right now when a religious leader is doing this.
And, you know, the whole hypocritical part about it is radical Islamists want to say the same thing. You know, these same Christians would say, demonize all of Islam. You know, they would generalize all Muslims to that one extremist. But when a Christian does it, they support it. And it shows the hypocriticalness of it all, too.
Yeah, it's insane. It's and there's something seriously wrong with it. But you know, I look at this and it does to me show the divide, and it does show to me how, and I've been saying this, I've been talking about this for a very long time, how radical some churches have become, how radical the extreme evangelical community has become. And part of it has to do with our media structure as well. And one of the things that caught my attention this week with you was you had put out a tweet, you know, in response to Beto O'Rourke saying that, you know, Fox News was, you know, extreme. And you said, you know, it's not just Fox. You said that there are a number of other conservative outlets that are even more extreme. And in your experience, you know, as a former conservative, you've consumed this stuff, right?
Right. I mean, I lean on it. I mean, it took a lot for me to have my eyes open to reality. And, you know, like I said, it's a lot more than Fox. There's the Blaze TV, there's Bret Hart, there's CRTV, Rogue Ride. There's, like, so many different minor outlets, and there's so many stuff on radio, podcasts, and it's more extreme than Fox. And they do a very, very good job of getting their message out there. That is why there's so many people angry at the Democrats, because they have no clue reality to what they're being told.
Yeah.
A lot of conservatives are, you know, stick to their families or churches, and this is all they're being told. I mean, you know, like this pastor, for example. I mean, you know, in Florida is, I know there's some parts of Florida that are Democratic, and most of the parts are conservative. So they're getting their conservative news, and they're getting the conservative message, you know, like that from that pastor guy. And you know, that's why there's so many, you know, white supremacists out here. You know, they think it's normal. They don't know that it's racism. That's part of the problem.
Yeah. So do you blame the media structure for this? Because look, you've outlined what I've been saying for a very long time is, you know, the moneyed interests want us divided. The moneyed interests of this country like it when the working class is pitted against one another. They're masters at slicing and dicing us up into, you know, white, black, Hispanic, male, female, white collar, blue collar, green collar, ring around the collar. They're experts at dividing us, and our media structure has done an incredible job of doing just that.
Yes, I definitely blame the media. I mean, you know, when I first got into politics, I was watching Hannity and, you know, one of those stuff like that. And you know, when he was always talking about President Obama and Hillary Clinton and other Democrats, I really believe it. And they had this message that the Democrats were wanting to destroy America from the inside, you know, and they really put forth that message. And when I had a dialogue with Sarah, you know, she was one that really replied in a really kind way. And, you know, that her kindness sort of dropped my own wall. And that's where I began to start asking more questions, dialoguing with more people. And I learned, no, they're not trying to destroy America. They're trying to fight for rights for other people. I mean, they're trying to fight for rights for, you know, LGBT, not taking away rights for a traditional marriage, you know. So, you know, that's why I keep trying to call out conservative media pundits, because they are the biggest ones that are doing this. And, you know, I guess what I realized, too, is that I know at first the GOP was upset that Trump won, you know, the general election, because their message itself is very racist, very dividing, very what about of the liberal, the actual liberal values. But when Trump has, you know, gotten so much support from the Republican Party, he basically, they're basically a closet racist, closet dividers, warmongers. But with him being so much outspoken, you know, they're like, that's what we believe in anyway, so let's run with it. You know, if that makes sense, you know, basically he's showing the American people the truth. Colors in GOP. I mean, a lot of his views on the wall, a lot of his views on immigration, same views that conservatives had, you know, throughout many, many years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, you know, I've been saying for a very long time, you know, people go, well, you know, how can the Christian community, you know, how can these evangelicals, how can they support Donald Trump with his, you know, multiple marriages and his grabber by the you know what, and you know, all of the things that supposedly Christians are supposed to find, you know, appalling, you know, his worship of money, and you know, you go on the list of narcissism and all of that, and I say it's because it's who they are, it's who this segment, this sect of Christianity is. These are the prosperity gospel people. These are the extreme evangelicals. They don't care about his personal life. It's the policies that he's pushing that they want wholeheartedly.
Exactly. I mean, it was about decency that he would have never been elected. When it comes to conservatives, evangelical, and you know, same in Jews too. There are ultra religious Jews that are basically insane as you know. Some of these evangelicals. There's nothing wrong. There's good and bad in all cases. But you do have the hypocritical ones that just care about. I thought, you know, I feel that what they feel, what America should be, and nothing else matters.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, you know, because we hear a lot about the Trump supporters being racist and all of that stuff. Is that a fair assessment? I mean, you were a former Trump supporter. Would you have considered yourself a racist at that time?
No, at that time, no. I think a lot of it is ignorance. And then when I learned about having empathy, learning about different points of views, I realized, wow, I had these kind of tendencies. And I think, I mean, there's different levels of it. I mean, you have the Proud Boys, you know, Richard Spencer, David Duke, you know, those guys, you know, those are really right. Extreme. Like, there's whole questions. And then you have people like me, like regular Americans that just don't know that their views are, you know, racist, you know, because, you know, when I was against immigration, you know, as far as like illegal aliens and all that stuff, and I didn't realize how that can be tied into racism, especially when I couldn't know the laws about seeking asylum in various cities and different rights they actually have. So I think a lot of it is ignorance. And then, you know, once you really learn the reality of it all, then it sort of hits like, whoa. So I think many of them don't realize that they think that America is one culture, one way of life, but it's, in reality, it's very diverse, many different ways of life. You know, a white person and a black person growing up, they're not going to have the same kind of life. I mean, it's a fact. I mean, you see it every day. Police brutality. I mean, a black person has to worry about getting shot or killed. You know, take the example of the shooters. You know, there was one incident in Missouri.
I was just going to bring that up.
He was in a full body armor, assault rifle, white guy. He gets, you know, taken in. But if it was a black person would have gotten shot and killed. So, I mean, a lot of conservatives don't know that because they're so in that bubble, right? You know, I keep mentioning about, they're not used to my person.
I guess it comes back to your personal experiences. So let me ask you, with your conversion, how have you been treated by your former Trump supporters?
Let's see, where should I start? I've been called traitor, I've been called fraud, all these kinds of names. I mean, I had, you know, my own, you know, ex is like trying to, you know, make it political, trying to get me off Twitter, saying, oh, man, this is a really bad person. Just like, she's a Trump supporter. And, you know, it's been crazy, some of the responses that I get. You know, so many of her names, and they want me off Twitter. And the more I think about it, it's fear because I point out the flaws in these ideals. I point out the, you know, the racism, all this stuff that they hold dear. You know, I pointed out how flawed it is, and they don't want other people leaving the movement. And, you know, every time there's another person leaving, making them great or stops in their support, I say, hey, look, I'm not the only one here. You know, there's other people leaving the movement. But, yeah, it's been a crazy journey this past year.
Yeah, it's got to be interesting. So in this the Democratic Party, is there anybody that you are looking at, you're going, that you're supporting one way or the other?
Yes, I definitely, I don't have voted for Warren. I feel, I agree with most of her policies, and I believe that she has the fight in her to take on Trump, because that's what it really comes down to right now, is to learn to beat Trump in the general election. But, I mean, if she doesn't win, I am going to vote for any Democrat. And I think, and one of the things opportunity is not my face, that, you know, we got to stick together in this election. Because take it for somebody who's, I mean, I actually campaigned for Trump in Israel, and I know how Trump campaigners work. They are watching everything that we are saying. They are studying us. They are watching our divide when we talk about other candidates. But we need to be, we need to have all eyes and ears, situational awareness. But, you know, it's definitely okay to bet every candidate, but we've got into it where we're not, dividing, we're not dividing each other. And they'll say, oh, use that against us. So that is that. That is betting is okay, but, we got to keep a united front when it comes down to it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the hope is they all circle back around. And I'm with you on that. Last question I've got for you, in looking at your situation, do you think there are more David Weissmans out there? Do you think more people have had the epiphany that Trump isn't what he claimed to be? Do you think there's going to be a number of folks like you?
I hope so. I think there is. I mean, you've seen sometimes there have been articles where farmers are stopping their support of how he has been hurting the farming industry, but I know they possibly are afraid to say stuff. A lot of people see what I go through on a regular basis in my mentions on social media. I have nothing to hide. I encourage people to know, hey, this is what I deal with on a regular basis. But I realize, things happen for a reason. I don't claim a chance of saying what happened with me and Sarah Silverman. It was there for a reason, too. And it's helping me be a better person overall. And I think, I'm hoping other people will see that and see the good parts about it because, you deal with the crap about it, but, I have made a lot of amazing people. The support has been tremendous, encouraging, and it's worth it. Every minute is worth it. And I want people to hear the good parts about it, so not just the bad parts. So they can have the same encouragement I did if they say, hey, I'm no longer supporting this guy.
I know the hope is there are more Sarah Silvermans out there to change hearts and minds. But David, I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
And thank you for having me on again.
Anytime. David Weissman. And look, you can follow him on Twitter, and we'll get links out of how you do that. It's just one of those things. I'm hoping there are more Davids out there. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back.
Keeping the Chambers of Commerce within their gated communities. The Rick Smith Show.
I'm Rick Smith.